All right, this week on the Media Podcast, I'm really happy that Mike Watkus has come back on board. Mike has been with us before. I can proudly say that I worked alongside of Mike Watkus. He worked, I just kind of did sports back in the day. He has finally written the book. Whenever I would see Mike, and I'm not going to take any credit for this, I would just say to him, write the book. And the book is now out, Story Hustler, Murder, Mayhem, PTSD, Mike Watkus. It's under True Crime Biographies, by the way, on Amazon. So this is pretty heady stuff, and this is going to be the first of many books, I would think.
Well, it's a pleasure to see you, Brad. May I just say that? And I told my son that I was going to talk to my dear friend, Brad, and he said, be sis. So you got a thing going with like multi-generations. He's a big NBA buff, so hats off to you. Lots of respect, and it's good to see you again, my friend.
It's good to see you.
But the book is done. Yeah, the book is done. And you were so very supportive and encouraging early on. And I want you to know that I remember and I'm grateful.
What made you decide to do it now?
Well, you know, I had an interesting experience last year. I had about 6 months where I just really sort of did go into witness protection. I had an apartment in LA and I went and hid there. And many of these stories, and you know this, Brad, because we've spoken over the years, some of these stories date back 40 and 50 years. And I have felt like getting them off my soul, much like an exorcism. Mm. And you know, then they've been works in progress. But I had this block of time last year where I had this tiny little studio apartment right in Hollywood. And I went and hid there for about 6 months and I got most of it done. And I thought, you know, if I'm ever going to do this, I'm not getting any younger, Brad, I'll tell you that, brother. So I figured if I'm going to do this, why not now?
Was it a dark period for you or was it rather simple?
You know, some of these stories from their confrontations with serial killers and ambushing movie stars. And some of them are little stories that, you know, broke my heart or certainly got my attention. And for whatever reason, the essays and stories that are in this book are the ones that I just felt compelled to write. And it's been interesting because a handful of them I almost couldn't write and I knew I had to include. I have a friend, his name was Dave Dave. He was an artist and he died a couple of years ago. And I knew that I could not write, do this book without addressing that. But it was something that I couldn't begin to do. And finally, Dave's mother reached out to me and said, would you write something? And I felt like, so anyhow, some of these things have just been bottled up in me and emotionally they have been sort of hard. Many of them are silly, madcap tales on the tabloid trail working for A Current Affair, you know, chasing Tanya Harding all over Portland, Oregon, another mixing of sports and news, Brad. And I argue in the essay about that, it really was a pivotal moment in American media because up until that point, all the big three networks and the mainstream cables really disdained the tabloid shows, hard copy, Inside Edition. They wanted nothing to do with us, plugging their noses. Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan was the one big story where they threw away all the pretense and suddenly I'm throwing elbows with Connie Chung and all of the other network bigwigs because they were all in on Tanya and Nancy. So those are the stories. I mean, that's a silly but interesting moment in history. And I thought, and again, one of the motivations was I realized that some of these things are now becoming ancient history.
Yep.
O.J. Simpson, Michael Jackson, when the scandal, the scandals first broke. And I'm thinking my audience, my demographic may be aging out here. So if anybody's interested in these stories, I probably ought to tell them now because some of them really go back a long way.
If you were to have to split hairs, and we're talking about the book Story Hustler with Mike Watkus, Murder, Mayhem, PTSD, it's just now out. It's on Amazon. It's in a lot of places. Really looks like a must read. Look under True Crime Biographies in Amazon. If you were to split hairs between the O.J. Simpson story and the Michael Jackson story and a story about Princess Di and a story about Charles Manson and a story about Heidi Fleiss.
They're all in there, I can tell you. How do you organize?
How do you look at it and say this one was more impactful on me than the other?
You know, and I many of these things I began to write because I wanted to see if I could put on paper what I remembered, because it was a significant moment for me personally, and many of them are not the larger story is the bigger context. There are small little moments where the moment arriving at the crime scene when they had just discovered Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. My essay in the book really focuses on just those first few hours, getting a frantic phone call from a producer in New York. I'm already on the freeway headed to some early morning in LA. I'm already on the freeway headed to another interview. This guy screaming, get to Bundy. So it's us racing to and getting to the crime scene. Bunch of cops, handful of crews, and then watching the dynamics unfold as the word spread and all of the players assembled. Marcia Clark, the story of her coming to the crime scene, sort of brushing by me as I'm trying to ask her a question and ducking under the crime scene. First time the world had ever heard of Marcia Clark. And the unfolding moments in that dramatic first day of the O.J. Simpson trial. So it's, you know, in many ways, it's not the macro story, it's the micro story that I personally, for whatever reason, sort of got hung up on, emotionally moved by, or just, you know, punched in the gut by.
Who did you find honorable in covering?
Oh, there was I was thinking about this. My friend Steve Pitt, our noted friend who was murdered here some time ago, the well-known forensic psychiatrist. There's a story about Steve, because Steve and I were planning on doing he had approached me and wanted to do a TV show to prevent violence and asked me to come on board, maybe anchor it with him. And then he was murdered shortly after we started these discussions. He was a great guy. But there was one that really stands out is a man named Reverend Benny Newton. And you're going to get me a little emotional because some of this stuff is still a little raw. But Benny Newton, when the riots erupted in downtown L.A., and we were out on the streets getting shot at, covering it. But right down at the epicenter, a man named Fidel Lopez was dragged out of his truck, his work truck, and beaten nearly to death. It wasn't Reginald Denny, because there was no helicopter overhead, but this man was dragged out from his truck, beaten. They took a big these mean young guys, took a speaker and crashed it over his head. He's laying very nearly dead in the street. They start taking his clothes off and spray painting him when this reverend, little man named Reverend Benny Newton, comes out with nothing but a Bible in his hand and a little love in his heart and stands over this guy and protects him from this marauding band of killers in the street as the smoke. Who moves me? My friend Benny Newton. The Reverend Benny knew it still moves me. And that's a story, you know, that's one of the little stories in this thing. From Rodney King, certainly it was more on that too. A lot about, of course, my friend Warren Jeffs and the FLDS community. A bit in the book about what it has taken over these last 40 years to really get some change and people to start taking seriously the abuses of the women and children in that community. And to the extent we had something to do with that, we talk about it in the book.
Story Hustler is the name of the book. We're talking with Mike Watkus. Biggest phony?
Our Arpaio is a phony. Big phony. Coward and a phony. I have some words for Joe Arpaio. The people who I have taken on in my life, Brad, I like to think people I dislike the most are bullies, people who have extraordinary power and then use it to against people who can't fight back, push people around who can't, you know, fight back. And I've gone, Arpaio, Jeffs, these are the guys who I just think have utilized their power to just ruin people's lives. And I'm proud to sort of have gone up against them in my career. And, there's definitely some choice words in this book.
When I say Princess Di, what goes through your mind?
Fairy tale. I got a phone call from our old buddy Dennis O'Neill the moments after we heard the news breaking, and he said, "How fast can you get to the airport and get to London?" It's like, "I'm there, Dennis. I'm already in checkout, or already in line." So we jumped on a plane and spent actually went to Europe twice to cover that story. It was great back in the days, and just I just think it was a magical moment watching the horse drawn carriage with the hearse and the casket and the young princes following behind are moments that still get me emotional. You know, just seeing those personally, just it blew my mind.
If you were in the internet age, as I, if both of us had social media on our phones and we had people calling, would you ever be able to do your job? I mean, today, Mike, it feels to me like that becomes the first metric, not the pictures and the story. It's just we need 200 characters in a hurry or 120 characters.
Right, and that's
characters.
And, you know, right. And I'm sort of grateful I'm out of the business now. And even with this new, with the restrictions and social isolating, it's just I think I don't know how a wild man like me could function with those kind of restrictions. I needed to be touching it, tasting it, smelling it. When I was covering a story, I wanted to be in it. And if you're not interacting with the people, so I mean, in many ways, this I think would have been the death, you know, driven the stake through my heart finally, because I couldn't have functioned in this current way. And so, it's just all about getting a tweet out. And I, you know, you and I sort of like to go and meet the people. You know, I've seen your interviews. You'd love to sit down and get serious with somebody and let it go somewhere and take a little breath.
Well, and there's this side of it where what I've always admired about you, well, there's a lot of things, but what I admire about you is I would tell people then and even to this day, Mike Watkus would come in on a Saturday night at 9 o'clock and tape someone who was getting out of a really bad situation in polygamy, and he'd never see her again. And he would be there on a Sunday night putting his story together for the next day. But if Mike Watkus was, if it was raining, Mike would go stand out in the rain and do his thing. Like, there was something about you that really, in an industry of egos where people lose their minds if they're not the first story and they're going to call their agent and lose their minds over that. It's not to say there weren't times you were pissed off, because there were times you were pissed off. And set out
a little bad bread. Those stories stay on the road, right?
No, but I mean, there's times where we're both sent out on shitty stories stories that you're just like, what is this compared to the stuff that you knew how to go chase and still know how to go chase? How'd you find that balance?
Hey, because you know, we still have an employer, and we still had to fill up that voracious beast, a 30-minute newscast, and whether there's something going on or not, you still had to fill that time up. So I went out and tried to have the mindset that whatever I was doing that day was the most important story in the world. Mm-hmm. A little selfish and self-centered, but I tried to think, you know, if I'm splashing around the puddle, I wanted to make it a good splash. And if I was, if I was going chasing Warren Jeffs across the country or, whoever it might have been, I wanted to give it my all. I think there's a bond with the audience more than anything else. I recognize that I'm asking people, or at that point, I was asking people to allow a spicy character like me into their living room to tell them a story. I better be respectful. Mm-hmm. I better make it, I better not be stupid about it, make it seem stupid, and treat them with some degree of respect. So as much as anything, just having an iota of respect for the audience, try to keep me motivated that whatever I'm doing, even if I think it's a little silly, try to make, do the best you can.
The story hustler title you put in there, Murder, Mayhem, PTSD, what drew you to that conclusion of this book?
Well, it was actually, I don't want to give away, I'm an old tabloid guy, I don't want to give away the teases, but we will address the title of the book in the book. Mm-hmm. It is a quote that was applied to yours truly by another author, and I'll leave it at that.
That's very fair, and we'll leave it at that as well. I appreciate you and your time as always. Good luck with the book. It's great to see you, my friend.
Oh, Brad, it's such a nice thing to see you and just hear your voice, buddy. Continued success.